As we come to God's word this evening, let's seek his blessing as we study it together. Our gracious God, we have been singing of your amazing grace and love and mercy, and these are themes that thrill our hearts. Help us to remember, dear Lord, that we are utterly dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, we thank thee for that amazing gift, the gift of thine only begotten Son, to come and give his life at Calvary in order that our sins should be forgiven. We pray, dear Lord, that as we think for a little while this evening again about his coming to this earth, the reason why he came, Lord, speak to us through this simple message from the Gospel of Matthew. And we pray that as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit may help us to love him more and to serve him better. That is our great desire. Lord, we give thanks then for our blessed Savior, and we seek your help and your blessing now in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to look at those opening verses that were read to us from the Gospel of Matthew. And because this event happened sometime, at least a few weeks, probably more than that, after the record that we have of Christ's birth in Bethlehem, I feel that it's sometimes forgotten. It's not given the same attention that the story of the coming of the shepherds and the stable and the manger and so on, perhaps this is not given the same attention. And yet, it's a very important, quite significant event that took place, and it has quite a lot to teach us, as I want to try and show. It began probably some months, probably even 6 months before the actual birth of Christ, as the wise men from the east, as the Magi, as they're sometimes called, as they were watching the stars and they saw a star appear in the east, or it could have been a confluence of stars coming together and forming a spectacular image in the sky. As they saw this and they charted its passage, they were convinced that there was something special going to take place. And it does appear that there was knowledge in the land from which they came. We can't be absolutely certain where they came from, but that there was knowledge of the possible birth of a king in Jerusalem, a new king of the Jews. And this, of course, greatly attracted their attention, and they watched it very intently. And therefore, they began their long journey. It would have been several hundred miles that they had to travel. And of course, they were traveling westward toward the star in the east. The Holy Spirit inspired Matthew, of course, to record this event because of the lessons that we are to learn from it. And I simply want to make about 8 points, none of them very long, so I won't be too long, about what happened here. I like to use words, and so I'm going to use a number of words beginning with the letter W, the first one being wise. That's fairly obvious, isn't it? These wise men, then, they weren't just clever men. They were clever men, of course, because they would have been the astronomers, or perhaps one should say astrologers of the day. They wouldn't have been astrologers in the sense that we think of astrologers, you know, that write the stars page in the paper every week or every day or whatever it is. Not that I have any interest in it. But they weren't reading the stars in that sense, but they did watch the stars and they saw how certain events were predicted by the stars. So they were clever men, but they were also wise men, because as they saw these things, they studied them, they thought about them, they were very concerned to know what the truth was about them. And therefore they were wise men. The Bible tells us, I think we might have read the verse this morning, I might have referred to it, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I believe that these men, these wise men, they came to fear the Lord by using the word fear. I mean, they had a reverence and awe of God. And I'm sure that they understood more than perhaps is disclosed to us in the Bible, simply because of what happened about these events. And so they were wise men in that they wanted to find out what was the truth. And that really would be my first challenge to us this evening. Do you think about these things? When you read your Bible, when you read about certain events that took place, when you observe things that are happening in history, events in nations and so on, do you think about them? And certainly concerning your Bible, do you not only think, do you pray about what the Bible says, asking God to help you to understand it better? And as you understand it, then to seek to work things out in your life. They were wise men. And because of what I said, we can see that they were watching and they were waiting. They were watching these stars. They wanted to know, or if you like, the star. They wanted to know what it was going to tell them, where it was going to lead them. And they were waiting to see what they would find, believing, as I've said, that probably a king was going to be born in Jerusalem. The astronomers, are, as they surveyed the night sky and watched, they waited that there might be a definite sign that they could follow. And as we read our Bibles, we need to watch what God has to say to us in our Bibles. We need to wait for Him to speak to us, and then we need to follow Him as He leads us on. We need to wait on Him in prayer that He would bring others to a saving knowledge of Himself, that He will bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is very much watching and waiting. Watching in the Word and waiting upon God as we go on in our Christian lives. The third thing I would say about these men is that they wanted to find. That is the reason why they left their home and they began this journey. They wanted to find whatever the star would lead them to. Probably believing that a child was to be born, they were hoping to find exactly that, the one that was to be born king of the Jews. We can't be too dogmatic about that because we don't exactly know. The Bible doesn't exactly tell us. But certainly they wanted to find what they believed the star was saying to them. That's why they began their journey, because it was no small thing that they did, traveling all of that distance those many years ago. And they were searching in the right place because they were following the star that they believed was leading them. But they wanted to find the truth of this matter. And again, there's another principle for us to lay to heart. If we have a desire to learn more about God, more about the Lord Jesus Christ, more about the truth, then we need to look in the right place. You won't find out much about God by reading love stories. I suppose if the couple concerned are Christians, you might learn a certain amount, but generally speaking, you won't find much out about God by reading novels or things of that kind. We need to study His Word. The point I'm getting at really is that there are so many people who say that they want to find the truth. They want to know the truth about God and so on. They want to find peace. But they look in the wrong place. They look in books on philosophy and things of that kind rather than coming to the very book that God has given us. The book that He's given us to tell us about Himself and about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we want to find the truth, then we must come to God's book. We must read His book, and we must pray about His book, and He will show us. He will lead us on. And we must say that God always makes us welcome. We are welcome to come to His book. We are welcome to seek Him in prayer. Isaiah says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You have to accept, you have to understand. In fact, it's not difficult to understand that the Bible is a book which welcomes people to come to Christ, to seek the Lord. It is a very welcoming gospel that the Bible tells us about. And therefore, as we want to find out and as we seek, we are welcome to come. Now, these wise men, having traveled many miles with such determination, following the star, and of course, because of this thought that one was going to be born king of the Jews, they went immediately to Jerusalem. The star was leading them in that general direction. You know that Bethlehem's not very far from Jerusalem. And so they went to the king's palace, believing that that's where a prince would be born. And they arrived at Herod's palace, and of course that caused a great deal of consternation. Not only was Herod troubled, but we read that all Jerusalem was troubled with him. They thought that if someone else had been born king of the Jews, then there was trouble on the horizon. And you know the measures that Herod took to try and make sure that there wasn't another prince, another king, that would be opposed to him. He told the wise men to come back, you remember, to inform him if they found this child. And because they didn't return, he then made arrangements for all of the children in a given area below the age of 3 to be killed. He was making sure, he thought, that there would not be anyone that would be a contestant for him. So they went to Herod's palace, and you remember when they came to Herod's palace, Herod consulted his wise men, and his wise men wisely referred to the scriptures. They turned to the prophecy of Micah, and in Micah 5, verse 2, they read that the king of the Jews was to be born in Bethlehem. Though it was only such a little place in those days, that's where he was to be born. The verse concerned says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor or a leader that shall rule or that shall shepherd my people Israel. And so, having read that verse, it's very interesting to me how that those wise men of Herod referred to the scriptures. They had that confidence in the scriptures. It's one of the evidences to us in these days that the scriptures are the truth, that they are to be fully trusted, that they didn't look anywhere else. They looked to the Old Testament scriptures and they said, that's where he's to be born. And so the wise men set off again in that direction, but still being led by the star. And you will remember verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, and go search diligently for the young child. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. I'm sure that the Bible here is telling us that to the wise men that were searching, they saw the star, they still could see the star that they had been following, and it just seemed as though it was right over the very place where the Lord Jesus Christ was, and so they were sure that this was the place that they would find him. And we read that in verse 10, that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And the word that I want to use here concerning the wise men is that their joy is very winsome. Now, that's an old-fashioned word, but it's a very telling word. The word winsome really means an infectious feeling that we get, which is beautiful, because of the strength with which that feeling draws us to something. It becomes very winsome. And I find the joy that these wise men felt, as it's expressed here, they rejoice with exceeding great joy, very winsome. There's something very appealing about it. Their exceeding great joy is infectious, if you like. And you feel that you want to enter into that joy. In a sense, we do enter into that joy, because it is so real. It was obviously so real to them, and it becomes real to us. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Let me just give you an illustration, if I can, to help you understand what I mean. I think of pictures that you see, that you would always be familiar with little children receiving the shoeboxes that are packed in England and in other countries and sent perhaps to Africa, but maybe more to Southern Europe. And you've probably all seen these simple pictures of a little child being given just a simple shoebox. And they've never had anything like it before. They never get presents. And I've seen some pictures where the children are absolutely radiant with joy at receiving something like this so unexpectedly. There is pure joy in their faces because of the joy that they feel in their heart at receiving this gift. And that is, as you look at it, it is very winsome. It makes you want to pack a shoebox every week so that you can send a whole lot next Christmas. Well, perhaps exaggerating a little, but it does make you want to try and bring joy to the hearts of these children because their joy is so winsome. It really touches your heart. And these men clearly had such an expectation of what they were going to find that they they anticipated finding this baby king, this prince, and perhaps they knew more, as I've said, than we realized, and so they were just so full of joy when they realized that they had arrived at the place where he was. Their longing was fulfilled, and therefore they knew great joy in their heart. And I would ask you, would you know that joy? Do you have a desire to know something of the joy that these men felt? Where is that joy to be found? Well, it is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he who brings joy to our heart. It is he who gives us peace. It is he who says to us, "Be still, your sins are forgiven you." And what a blessing then to seek the Savior. We have heard testimonies of others that have come to know the Lord, and as we've listened to their testimonies, our hearts have been full of joy for them. And if we would know that joy for ourselves, then we shall find it in the Savior. That's what these wise men experienced. They were coming to find the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God had sent into the world to save his people from their sins. They may not have fully understood that, but they were coming to find him, and it brought joy to their hearts. And we read that, having come to the place, they entered in, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They came into the house, they saw just a baby there, or a young child. He certainly wouldn't have been very old. A young child in his mother's arms. And by faith, they fell down and worshipped him. I've sometimes thought how amazing it is that these men, seeing just probably a little baby, or if you think of Simeon, a similar case, how Mary and Joseph brought baby Jesus into the temple, and Simeon had been told that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Simeon comes into the temple and he sees Mary and Joseph there with the baby Jesus in their arms, and he immediately has the faith to believe that this is the Christ, this is the Son of God. And the wise men, in the same way, they believed, and the effect it had upon them was that they fell down and worshipped him. And I would ask you, have you felt anything of that? Anything of that wonder of faith at seeing in the babe of Bethlehem, the babe laid in the manger, that this is indeed Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who came to save his people from their sins? Do you know what it is to fall down on your knees before the Lord Jesus Christ, to bow your heart before him and to worship him? As we do that, we shall know something of the joy that these wise men felt. This exceeding great joy that filled their hearts. Do you know what it is to worship him? Do you even now say, even as we're here this evening, do you now say concerning him, "Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for you." You feel that love to him. You feel that desire to know him, to have him as your Savior. that you can say, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for you. And then I believe that we can say this, that these wise men, as they knelt before the Lord Jesus Christ, they were wistful. And the word wistful is another old word. It means a thoughtful and attentive longing. That as we pay attention to something, as we think about it, it's so wonderful that we have a longing concerning it. And the effect upon these wise men was that they wanted to give. And that is exactly what they did. Recognizing who this child was, this baby or this child was, bowing down before him or kneeling before him and worshipping him, they wanted to give to him. They had this wistful desire to give to him. And the gifts that they brought, I mentioned right at the beginning that this account brings to us an example of the wonderful providence of God. The providence of God simply means the way in which God works and works things together for his people's good, as we mentioned this morning. The way that God orders our lives, that's the providence of God. And the providence of God is a very wonderful thing. The Puritans used to say, he who watches providence will never lack a providence to watch. In other words, our lives are full of God's working and ordering things, his providence. If you think that Mary and Joseph very soon were going to have to go on a long journey, they were going to have to leave Palestine, and they were going to have to go down into Herod, into Egypt, because of what Herod was about to do. The baby Jesus, his life was to be spared, of course, because of his great work, his work of redemption. And so Joseph and Mary had to take him down into Egypt. Now, how were they going to provide for themselves? How was it going to be possible for them to travel all of that distance with the expense that would be involved in providing for their needs, their food, and so on? And then in Egypt, how were they going to sustain themselves until they could go back to Nazareth again Joseph could resume his work as a carpenter? Well, if you've got a bag of gold and a bag of frankincense and a bag of myrrh, that's going to go quite a long way towards paying your keep for quite a long time. And so, although we attribute significance to these gifts, and that's fair enough, people say, well, gold means that Christ was a king. That's true. Frankincense, being incense, was significant because he was a priest, which is also true. And myrrh speaks of sorrow and suffering, and he was going to suffer. So those things are true. But more than that, I believe it was God's provision for Mary and Joseph that they could provide for themselves and their little child for that quite long period until they could go back to their home again. And so these wise men wistfully wanted to give gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the providence of God, that's exactly what they did. And you know, if we love the Savior, if we do love him, if we know anything of this joy that he can bring to the heart, then we shall want to give to him. We shall want to give ourselves to him. We shall want to give our lives to him. We shall want, in a sense, to give our all to him. We shall want to do all that we can in his service throughout our lives until he at last takes us home to glory. And I wonder, are you wistful, as these wise men were, to give to Jesus Christ? I think of the words that the Queen used in her speech this year on Christmas Day. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But what I can, I give him. Give my heart. It was one of the clearest indications of the Queen's faith in the Lord that I've ever heard. But putting that to one side, is that the desire of your heart? Is that the desire of my heart that I want to give to the Lord Jesus? And I give him what I can. Give him my heart. In Proverbs 23, I've forgotten the verse just offhand, but it's in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs. The writer says, or God says through the writer, my son, my daughter, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. Oh, that God would help us to give Jesus Christ our heart again and again. Just two more words very quickly. As these wise men were there and had found the Lord and had given their gifts, God spoke to them, and we see that they were willing to listen. God told them that they must not return to Herod. They must go home by a different route. And that was so important that they should obey. Well, they listened, they were willing to listen and to obey what God says. And that again is another challenge to us. As God speaks to us through his word, we must be willing to listen and we must be willing to obey. Do you remember when Saul of Tarsus was converted on the road to Damascus? His first prayer was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that should be our prayer every day. We should always be concerned to know what the Lord would have us to do. Are we willing to listen and to obey? And then, just finally, as these men were wise, we must be wise. They were wise because they sought to find Jesus. And wise people still seek Jesus today. And I challenge you, do you know what it is to seek for Jesus Christ? We need to seek for him every day. As I said this morning, we need to make Psalm 119, verse 117, our daily prayer. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. If the Lord does not hold us up, we will not be safe. And we need to seek the Lord Jesus to hold us up in our lives every day. We need to trust him with all our heart. Not to lean to our own understanding, but to trust him with all our heart. And we have that promise that he will direct our ways. Well, may God bless to us his word. May he help us to be wise. And may he give us to know that wonderful joy. That verse to me is so appealing. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. May the Lord give us that joy in our hearts as we seek the Lord, as we welcome him to our hearts, and as we seek to live our lives for him. Let's bow briefly in prayer. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we are so thankful for the word that we have to study, this wonderful book, the Bible. And we are thankful for this account that we have of the wise men that came seeking for Jesus. Help us, Lord, to follow their example. Help us to be wise in seeking the Lord Jesus, to seek him every day. And Lord, we pray that thou would help us to be wise in welcoming him to our heart, to be our Lord and our Savior. Lord, bless your word to us, we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.